This episode of the WDW Review is sponsored by Magical Mara Designs. Do you enjoy showing off your love of Disney by wearing Mickey or Minnie ears, but get tired of wearing ones that are uncomfortable and give you headaches? Check out the made-to-order ear designs at MagicalMaraDesigns.com. We've got cute and comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears made to order. Designing Minnie and Mickey ears is my hobby. Making ones that are actually comfortable to wear is my passion. Check them out at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Peter Panacorvo. How are you, Pete?
I'm well.
You're well. Very good.
I'm well.
You're well, you're warm, you're toasty, you're comfortable.
Well, sort of.
Okay, we'll talk more.
I had to move to Florida to get frostbite.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about this, all right? Because you're the only person ever that moved to Florida to get frostbite.
No. One of my coworkers has also done it.
Okay. I want to hear about this in a second. Pete, let me reintroduce you to a lady who's been on our show, and she's won several of our contests. Like, she almost knew the contest before they hit. It's Jennifer Bachman. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You're a two-time winner?
Two-time, yeah.
Two-time winner of the show. So, before
she got two stickers, folks.
Pretty much.
Be jealous.
Two hearty congratulations from us.
Well, thank you.
Well, I want to go back and I want to ask you what's good going on in your life. But before that, I want to go right back to Pete. Pete, how did a person move to Florida and get frostbite, can I ask?
Well, my current employment has me going in and out of a medical deep freezer with a temperature of approximately 37 below Celsius.
Everyone's wondering if you've seen Walt. Okay, I'm and sorry. That was out of bounds. Like, I'm sorry. That was out of bounds.
And then on top of that, there's three fans in each of the freezers.
Okay.
So with the wind, it's like 50 below zero Celsius, which is, I think, something like 35 below Fahrenheit, something like that.
There's no math here, Pete. Come on now. It's cold. Okay, it's very cold. That's what I'm guessing.
It's real cold.
That's what I'm guessing.
And because of my height, my head is like right in the pathway of the fan.
Okay.
So I actually got a touch of frostbite on my right ear.
Wow. Okay.
But in my defense, I'm not the first one to do it. One of the other guys in the processing lab has also done it on his first time in the freezer for an extended period of time.
I don't mean to laugh at you. It's just, I cannot imagine.
Yeah, no, of course. Leave it to me. Moved from Chicago, 40 years in sub-zero temperatures all winter long. I've never had frostbite in my life. I move here 3 months later, I have frostbite on my ear.
Terrible. All right.
It's just the story of my life. You know?
Jen, if you were in a deep freeze right now, would you be tall enough to get frostbite on your ear? I just have to ask.
I'm 5'7", so probably not.
Probably not. You're okay. Have you ever received frostbite at any point in your life?
No, I'm good on the frostbite.
Good on the frostbite. Pete, how did we get here on this show? This is a Disney show, and we're talking about frostbite.
Yeah, I know.
Jen, give me something good in your life. Before we talk about something today that's going to really be cool for listeners, because it's relevant to a lot of people. It's a good trip report with some interesting twist to it. But give me something good in your life. What's going on?
So this week, I am excited to say that I made the final in Fantasy Football League. I play him with you, Chris, and several other folks in Edcott. So really thrilled to be in that position. Hope to make it actually my third win that's related to the podcast. We'll count them all.
Wow. Okay, so in full disclosure, we're probably going to air this, and when we air it, it'll already be decided whether or not that it'll be, you'll know if you're a champion or not. So as of right now, though, you are in the championship, and you're playing against. Yep. Do you know who you're playing against? Give me the name. Give a shout out.
Yep, I'm playing against Tim Van Swole.
Okay. So
the same record all season, so we ended 8-5. And then we both knocked out the first and the second place competition to get here. So really excited.
Yep. And we have like five girls in the league, and the girls were kicking butt for a lot of the year. You have a good team. Tamara had a good team. Beth had a good team. Lisa Yost is improving for next year. Who am I missing? I'm missing a girl. Who am I missing?
You're missing Katrina.
Katrina, correct. Katrina and I are going to get a battle plan next year, so the Dingle Hoppers will be improved for next year, I promise. So, excellent. Okay, and you are joining us today because you have a trip report, and the reason why it's cool was, tell us like the nuances of what made this trip unique.
Yeah, so we went to Disney World over Thanksgiving, and that's not necessarily unique for us. It's our third time that time of year, so we were ready for the crowd. But I think what made it really different for us was we went with another family, and it was their first time at Disney World. So we tried to do things that we felt like they'd want to see as first-timers and give them the best experience we could, knowing it was their first time. And I think we were trying to get them hooked like we were, or we are. So we tried to give them all the highlights. So some things that we hadn't done in a while and some things that we usually skip over, we made sure to hit because we felt like it would be good for them as a first-timer.
Okay. So you are essentially playing tour guide to another family. The husband, has he gone? The wife, has she gone before at any point in their past?
So their names are Amanda and Greg. And Greg had gone when he was a kid, so it had been many years. And then Amanda had never been. And they have two kids, and they had never been either. So yeah, we were playing tour guide a little bit. So definitely, as we talk, you'll hear about some things I didn't anticipate in that process and some things I kind of took for granted that we had to readjust to.
Okay. So here's my fear, not with your trip, but like in general. We talk about Disney all the time, Pete and I, and like, oh yeah, we're like Disney's best publicity because we do it for free for them. But right. Like, I'm afraid of taking people with us that have never been to Disney because they're going to, you know, the way that I talk about it, like, there can't be any wrong down there. And the way we build it up, it's going to be magical. But it's not always that experience. And I don't even know what happened with yours. But I know there's a lot of stories where people were like, oh my gosh, it was like 14 hours in the park and it was 95 degrees. And it ends up being less than an enjoyable experience. So yeah. How did you prepare them? What was your version? Was it books? Was it videos? Was it you talking to them? What was their preparation to this? How did you convince them?
Yeah, so they knew they wanted to go and had reached out to us because they know we go a couple times a year and said, you know, let's try to go at the same time. And we have kids that are the same age, so we thought that'd be great. So we talked about dates that would work. And then I think I kept trying to send Amanda things and get her to where I'm at, where I'll like obsessively plan a trip for several weeks and replan it and change everything. And I think she very politely at some point just said, hey, just do whatever you think that we want and just do whatever you want.
You wore her down before you went on the trip already. you exhausted her.
But she was really patient with me and really open to doing things. So we talked about, you know, kind of what the kids would want to do and any characters that our kids would want to see. I wanted to make sure we hit those. And then just kind of had the conversation a couple of days out with her to pack your patience. You know, it's a busy time of year, so something always goes wrong. A kid will always be screaming, and that's okay. We just got to figure it out and roll with it. So I think we were at least kind of level set to try to have the best time we could.
Okay. So we could knock out some pertinent details pretty quickly, but I imagine based upon your kid's age, that you're a veteran at having things go awry and then just kind of rolling with the punches, correct? So give us the ages. You don't have to say the names of the kids, but how old are your kids?
Yep, so I have an 8-year-old and I have a 1.5-year-old.
The 1.5-year-old. So if it's anything like ever my 1.5-year-old, it could be really good one moment and 38 seconds later could be a giant terror.
A meltdown
is right, Pete.
So except for the very last day of the trip, she got sick. she was probably better behaved sometimes than my 8-year-old.
Wow. So, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I saw videos, and I saw a video of her with the parade coming, and it was adorable. It was adorable. Okay. So let's go through some basic details so we can set the story right. On property or off property staying?
We stayed on property at Pop Century.
Okay. And how long was the trip? How many days?
So we stayed one extra day than our friends because, okay, you know, we have to suck every ounce of the vacation out of it.
Okay.
But we got there midday or late in the afternoon Saturday.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving. And then their last day was Friday. Our last day was Saturday. Okay. So just about a week.
So you stayed a week roughly, and they stayed 6 days. They left the day after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Did you prep them that this is a psychotic time of the year to go to Walt Disney World with the amount of people there? Did you preface that at all?
I told them it would be busy.
Okay.
I don't know how much I made that point. But I did try to emphasize crowds are going to be crazy, but if we get in early, we should be able to get a lot done.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, so I'm writing this information down so I can refer to this. Did you drive or fly?
So we drove. That is probably one regret I have.
Okay.
For whatever reason, airfare this year was just insane. And so, you know, when you use Google Maps or Waze, it from Nashville, it likes to tell you it's like 10 hours. So I'm often tricked by that. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's fine. We can do this. But it's never 10 hours. That's a lie.
Yeah, it's 7 to get through Georgia for criminy crickets, you know?
I know.
Okay.
So the way down, we actually left on Friday when we all got out of work and drove south of Atlanta and then stopped for the night. And then we finished up the next day. And then for us, when we drove back home, we drove straight through, which was rough.
Okay. Well, you know what is Pete and I have done that drive just recently. We did it twice. So for us in Chicago, though, hearing a 10-hour drive to Walt Disney World, I'm like, I'm so jealous of you, Jen. I'm so jealous.
Not 10 hours.
Okay. And I will say that Georgia feels like it's the longest state in the history of man. Lord knows it's not. But, I mean, it feels so long when you're driving through Georgia. So, okay. So we drove. You stayed for about a week, and you're at Pop Century. Very good. So let's go and talk about things that were, like, important. Give us some highlights of your experience. We can talk about some things you do differently, but we don't have to go, like, you know, restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. But let's go with each day. Give us a highlight on each day.
Sure. So the first day, we got there a little later than we expected to, so it was a really short day. But we went to Hollywood Studios first. And we ate at Hollywood and Vine and did the Minnie's Holiday Dine, which I think is great. I think it gets a bad rap, but it's the second time I've done it, and I really like the characters there. I think the food is okay. And then we got to do Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, which I'd never done before, so that was really cool to see. They did a really good job this year with Hollywood Studios and just decorating it. And a lot of cute stuff.
They've upped that this year.
Peter, I was going to say to you, what's your point of view for that? Is it good?
Yeah, no, it's good. I saw it last year, and they've absolutely put more stuff in it this year than they did last year.
Good, because I felt like it was like the stepchild. Once they took the Osborne away, and they kind of put some lights up, and they kind of decorated it. And so, you know, I apologize to any stepchild out there, but, you know.
It's... I don't like it as much as I enjoyed Osborne. I'm not saying
sure
it's on that level, but they have increased the stuff on Sunset, and you know they've added some of the other stuff for the light show and the projection show. So it's improved. It still doesn't replace Osborne to me,
but it's better.
But yeah, it's better than it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Like first year was okay. This year it's good. Osborne though was like that would make your head swim.
Yep.
If you'd never seen it before, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, here we are. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Okay, and what was your attractions for that day?
So we had three fast passes planned, and it was going to be Muppet Vision, which, yep, not normally anything I use a fast pass on, but just because of timing and kids' ages, we were going to hit it. And then Star Tours and Toy Story Midway Mania. But by the time we got there, Toy Story was actually the only one we did that night.
Interesting.
I was going to say, I'm trying to think of three things you can use a fast pass for that would be worth it.
Yeah.
It's there.
With, you know, and even though we had 8-year-olds with us, they are not huge roller coaster kids. My son won't ride Rock and Roller Coaster.
So I was
Tower of Terror.
Yeah, I would say Tower, probably Toy Story, and then Slinky Dog would have been, if I had to use three in that park, those are the three.
Are you a roller coaster fan? Would you ride Tower?
Yes. So I am a roller coaster fan. Tower is the one ride I'm a little sketchy about, but actually what made me okay with it is riding Guardians in Disneyland, and I loved it, and it made me try Tower again with a different mindset. So I'm okay with Tower now.
Okay. So that, in my mind, is the best ride on Disney property, the Tower of Terror, for everything that it encompasses in terms of ambiance, music, the lead up, the scenery, just the development of that ride and the actual thrill itself. That
Missy agrees with you.
Oh, that's my favorite ride, and it's one of my favorite background loops too. The background loop on YouTube is with the music is so haunting. It's one of my favorites. So
did I show you the picture of me and B?
You did. So Jen, though, I would say...
only two people in the whole car, twice in one night.
That's awesome.
That's frightening in its own right. But okay, to be that close, though, I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm this close to riding the Tower and the Rock and Roller Coaster, so you deserve a little accommodation as a mom right there, right?
Well, I appreciate that, but I snuck them in later in the week, so...
Okay.
It's not good. Like I went with...
Okay, so take us to day two.
Yeah, day two, we had a full day, so we did Magic Kingdom, and that was great. We got there not quite at Rope Drop, but a couple minutes after. Mm-hmm. This day was also Mickey's 90th birthday, so that was really cool to be in the park while all those festivities were going on, but the line to meet Mickey was absolutely insane. So we did Tinkerbell instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I do Magic Kingdom, usually we're there for at least a week, so try to do Magic Kingdom over a couple days. So I usually either go left or right. So this day we went left and we hit all the Adventureland attractions, and then into Frontierland a little bit. So that was really great. And then while we were at Pop, we heard there was a Mickey's 90th birthday celebration. So early afternoon, we went back to the hotel to see what was going on there. And they had Mickey changing outfits every 20 minutes and just a huge line to meet different variations of Mickey. So that was kind of cool to see.
Pete, they had Disco Mickey. They had Rap Mickey. They had all these various versions of Mickey.
It was quite Disco Mickey.
Okay, well, that's the advantage of having an annual pass, because I'm a ticket holder, and I would never leave Magic Kingdom to go and see that. But as an annual pass, you had the opportunity to walk away and come back. So, okay, cool. Was it worth your time leaving the park to go and see that? Did you feel like your kids got a cool experience by seeing Mickey at that point? Or was that your best opportunity to see Mickey, because the park was going to be crazy crowded to see Mickey at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, so we had a great morning that day, and we hit several attractions. And I think the kids had just hit that point where they needed a rest.
Cool.
So it was good. Got to step back. What's funny, though, is we went to get in line for Mickey, and it was so long, and we were next to the pool, that all of the kids just decided they wanted to go to the pool. So I didn't actually...
Hey, look. Mickey. Like, oh, Mickey pool.
Yeah.
While we swam.
Well, so here's probably a great tip to learn from you. If you're going to Walt Disney World and you see water, there's a better than average chance that your kids are going to want to go in that water, even than going to Epcot or Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom. The pool seems to trump a lot of things. But you know what? it's their vacation too. And you could take them fighting to the theme park, or you could just let them have what they like for a while. So that's cool. Budget a little time for that. And honestly, the Disney pools are like some of like the best pools and resorts in the country. So it's worth it. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, depending on where you're staying.
Yeah, that's true.
And then after that, we wound up, one of the things I like when we stay at Pop is we like to walk over to Art of Animation and do the little Cars area over there. Especially having three little boys with us, that was really cool for them to see. So we spent some time over there just hanging out with the cars.
Mm-hmm. That is a really cool area. I've got a great picture of me and the Blacks when we first met Michael and Christina, or maybe it was like the third time. I don't remember exactly, but we have a big family picture. It's a really cool place to walk around, especially if you like cars. And you have an eight-year-old boy, so by default, you have to like cars pretty much, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't, but he does.
Yeah, for sure. Who's your favorite car of the movie, Jen?
I think I'd probably go with Flo.
Interesting. Very good. Not a Lightning person, not a Sally person, no. Not a Mac, the big rig, no, nothing like that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Peter, did you ever see Cars? Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Okay. Give me your favorite car. This is a hard-hitting interview. I need to know. The Hudson Hornet?
No, that's tough. I mean, the paramedic in me wants to say the fire truck, but...
Big Red?
Honestly, you can see I kind of like... the hippie van. Just because I think he's
Fillmore.
Funny. Fillmore, yeah.
Right? Okay, they're all good. That's the thing is in that movie, which I think is one of the most underrated movies, even though it was given all this publicity and there's a Cars Land, like it doesn't get the credit it deserves because it's a really good movie. It's really enjoyable. It's hard not to like Lightning though, isn't it? Lightning's such a lovable character. He's such a pompous car, and then he really learns to be humble, and he does the right thing at the end. Spoiler alert! But it's hard not to like Lightning. He's such a good guy.
If you're spoiling Cars right. at this point,
right?
Which came out how many years ago?
You know what?
Actually, you know which other character I really liked, and he only has like maybe 5 minutes of screen time is the King.
Mr. The King, right?
Mr. The King.
Very good.
Richard Petty.
On Cars 2.
Yep. Have you been to Disneyland, too? I know we're going to talk about that in a future show, but you've been to Cars Land, too, as well, right?
I have, yeah.
All right. In our last show, we talked about it a little bit. Peter hasn't been there. On a scale of 0 to 10, Cars Land.
Oh, 100. It was amazing.
Right? Everyone says it. It's like 1,000%. It is amazing. If they come close with like Star Wars Land and like if Toy Story Land builds itself up to equal Cars Land, we'll be happy campers because Cars Land's amazing. So,
yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I sidetrack everybody. I apologize. So you're waiting. The kids are at the pool. You haven't talked about food so far. Are you in the dining plan or are you paying out of cash, out of pocket?
So we were out of pocket. We have tables in Wonderland, so hard to justify the dining plan for us. But we did a lot of quick service on this trip. We only did a couple of table service restaurants. And it's just really, with the kids, you just never know how long they're going to last or when they're going
to That's why
leave.
Chris has never been to half the restaurants he wants to eat at.
Yeah, three quarters of the restaurants because I can't rely upon having
I
a full sit down.
Was being generous.
You were being generous.
Sorry.
Maybe 5/6 of them. You're right. Jen, we are the same thing. Can we go to Olivia's? Maybe. The kids are in good mood today? Yeah, let's go to Olivia's. Okay, but it's only like Olivia's. It's not like, you know, anything above that. I agree. Okay. So, Magic Kingdom, what was the highlight of the day for you at Magic Kingdom?
This is a really personal highlight, but we met Cinderella, and my daughter actually walked over to her with arms out and gave her a big hug.
Awesome.
So that was awesome to see. So that was her first big princess. She had met a couple of them before, but was too little to interact at all. So that was really cool.
Really cool. How about the other family? What was their highlight of Magic Kingdom? I mean, they must have said, oh, man, we really enjoyed this. What did they really dig on that day?
I you know, I think they were pretty into pirates, but one of the little guys they had loved the magic carpets of Aladdin. That was like the ride he wanted to ride there, which was kind of funny to the rest of us.
Wow, all those great attractions. The
Aladdin. Everyone on this call, who's ridden Aladdin?
Right?
Put your hand up.
I have. Yeah.
You, oh, you have?
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one that hasn't ridden it then.
Yes.
I can't sit in that line for that.
Yeah, it's a long line, that's for sure. It is. And the ride's only 20 seconds long, so I agree.
Okay, it's Dumbo without Dumbo.
But you get spit on by water, Pete. You're getting spit on every time.
Yeah, that'll make me want to ride it.
Okay. All right, so now take us to day three. Where are you going on day three, Jen?
So day three, we went to Epcot, and here's really where I made a critical error in my planning.
Okay.
We had a Frozen Fast Pass later in the day, like 2:45 or 3 o'clock, and then we had a Via Napoli reservation later than that, around 7. So I made the call to spend all day in Epcot, and I was probably overestimating everybody's stamina, including my own, because this day was exhausting.
Okay. So when you say all day, tell me what all day is. Is it all day open to close? Less than that? More than that? Because you already went through 2 days in a drive. So you're already pushing these first-timers pretty hard. What does that mean? When are you there?
Yeah, so we were there when they opened, and we walked out as Illuminations was going off.
Oh my gosh, you're beating these people to death.
I know.
I'm waiting to hear where the error came in.
Oh, Peter, oh my gosh. All right, so...
Because that sounds like a great day to me.
It is a great day. If the three of us went to Epcot, it would be a great day, but...
Yeah.
So, you're there at Open, and what are your fast passes for beginners? Never been to Epcot, or haven't been in ages. What are you taking them on?
Yep, so we did Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
We actually covered a lot this day. So we jumped in line to meet Pluto as we walked in. And then we were able to jump on Test Track with a reasonable wait.
Okay.
So we did Spaceship Earth with the Fast Pass. And then we had a Fast Pass for the Seas with Nemo. And the line was insane, the Fast Pass line. And we were told someone was sick on the Fast Pass line, so it would be a while. So we tried to kind of divert and do something else at that point. But we had walked over to Figment, and I think that's when everybody had just gotten to the park, because the Figment wait was 45 minutes, and I cannot wait 45 minutes to ride Figment.
Yes.
So we wound up just going back in the aquarium section and actually just taking the kids through the aquarium to see the manatees and some of the fish. Well, Nemo cleared out. So we eventually got back on that. And then we did a quick lunch at Sunshine Seasons. Happy to find a table there. And then just really tried to move on to the World Showcase, because like I said, by that point it was super crowded. And it was the first time in the trip thus far that we had really felt the crowds coming for Thanksgiving. So we got into the World Showcase, and we had a lot of fun doing the Phineas and Ferb game, the Agent P's adventure. So we had some time doing that, and the adults had some adult beverages. And so then we got a little more relaxed about it. But I think I probably could have and should have planned better our direction and the amount of back and forth walking we'd have to do. Because we like basically went around the whole World Showcase and then, you know, wound up at the Frozen ride and then had to backtrack. We backtracked into Future World and then had to go all the way back to Italy. So my fault for making us all walk like 15 miles that day.
Okay, so Jen, we're friends. So I'm going to say this with as much love as I could muster. So you have beginners to Walt Disney World.
I know.
You drive them down there. make them spend the night overnight. Then you take them to the studios, then a full day at Magic Kingdom, then to Epcot. You get them drunk, you drive them around the park, and then you walk back to Via Napoli. So I'm kind of seeing where this might be part of the critical error. Okay, very good. I say with, of course, with joking in my voice. So
they were, to be fair, they weren't drunk, but my husband was trying to be, because he left me and Greg with the kids, and my friend Amanda and my husband wound up in the tequila bar in Mexico. So.
Okay, so he audibled, and he was out of there for a little bit of time. I've never gone here's probably something that doesn't shock you. I've never had tequila in my life. Have you had tequila, Pete? Are you a tequila guy? Yeah, I'm asking.
You asking that question?
I'm asking you. Yes, you have.
We'll put it this way. Jose and his brethren and I are very good friends.
Okay, so you are one with Cuervo. Jen, are you a tequila drinker?
I am not. I've had tequila, but I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm too much of a fan, so I can't be a fan. Something like that.
Okay, so just a little side note. So your husband's at the tequila, which is La Cava, correct?
Yeah, La Cava.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so give me something really cool that day. Give me a highlight that day for you and for them. Because it couldn't have all been, I mean, like, was the Frozen ride, was that a highlight? Give me your best moment of the day.
Yeah, I think they really love the Frozen ride. That was great for everybody. We had a great dinner at Via Napoli, and that, to me, I always book Via Napoli, and then it's very hit or miss for me, but that they were on that night, so we had a great dinner, and just lots of fun and lots of laughs, despite, you know, the absolute exhaustion we were all experiencing.
Do you have a day coming up that isn't a park day? Did you rest between you and them or the kids at all, or did you just keep on going to the parks? Because that is a style. I mean, you just, you know, take it easy at the parks, but you go to a park every day, especially with an AP. You don't feel like you got to get 12 hours.
I did not book a resort day or a true rest day. We had the following day we're at Magic Kingdom, and we left there after lunch and kind of relaxed at the hotel for a while. And of course, the kids jumped in the pool again. So I guess we got some relief there. But, you know, I really did not do a fantastic job on making this a leisurely vacation for anyone.
No, but, you know, I could imagine what you're doing here, because you have all these cool sights and things you want to show this family, right? It's like their first time, so they're not going to go and get, like, the sampler. They're going to get, like, the whole buffet, and you want to show them the whole thing. I could imagine that's probably part of your motivation, at least.
I was definitely trying. And, you know, it's funny, because it kind of made me realize how different families are. We are not pool people. Like, we'll go in the pool a little bit while we're there, but half hour in the pool, and I am done, bored, ready to go, ready to do something else. And it was great for me, because they were all about the pool and happy to take my oldest and take him in the pool while I could take a nap. So it worked out, but just, you know, trying to get everything we could into this week to show them what Disney was all about.
Okay. Day four, is this an Animal Kingdom day?
This was actually a Magic Kingdom day again.
Okay.
It's funny you say that, Chris, because it was going to be an Animal Kingdom day originally. Mm-hmm. And then Amanda had told me probably 2 months before we left that she really wanted to eat at Be Our Guest, and I hadn't made a reservation for that. So I was a reservation stalker for several weeks and finally got one, but it was on our Animal Kingdom day. So I wound up having to switch everything around to make it work. But we got it, and we're glad we did it. So this happened to be another Magic Kingdom day. We did what's probably Pete's favorite, the Dumbo ride. we did Barnstormer, teacups, like that whole back section of Fantasyland, and then Tomorrowland as well, and the People Mover, which I think everybody should experience. So we actually had to wait for the People Mover, so that's how we knew it was getting really crowded.
Wow. Okay, when you say wait, are we talking minutes, or are we talking a longer period than that? Was there a queue at the bottom of the ride going back and forth?
No. It was bad. It was like a 15-minute wait for the People Mover.
Wow. So if you're listening and you've not ever seen this before, People Mover, as you know, is nearly a walk-on attraction at almost all times of the year because it never stops. It continuously moves. Occasionally, they'll put the queue lines at the bottom where it goes back and forth or back and forth, and you know you're in for trouble when the People Mover has got to wait. So, yeah, that was probably a first sign. Okay, so Magic Kingdom, I got a quick question. So, judging all lands as equal in the Magic Kingdom, give me your favorite land, Pete, for attractions, for music, for ambiance in the Magic Kingdom. Give me the one that calls your name. Jen, you're next.
Well, I mean, it's got to be Liberty Square.
Okay, just because it holds your favorite attraction?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, good enough reason.
Now, like, overall, I'm probably either going Tomorrowland or Main Street. But if attractions are in the mix, it's got to be Liberty Square.
Okay.
So just for clarity's sake, is your favorite attraction Haunted Mansion or Hall of Presidents?
Well, it's not Hall of Presidents.
I was about to be worried.
Pete's a history buff, and he's the guy standing up and clapping after they speak. So, okay.
That is the only attraction I've not done in the Magic Kingdom.
You've never done the Hall of Presidents?
No.
Neither have I.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Time out. You've never done the Hall of Presidents, not once, at all, at any time that you've been down there?
Never even a little.
Wow. Never. Do you like the American Adventure?
I've never done.
Sweet googly moogly, Peter.
What?
I'm just wondering if, like, you've never had a moment where you're like, I'm hot, I need to sit down for 20 minutes, because that's pretty much what it is, to sit down. Wow.
Okay. You forget when I used to go to the parks.
Okay.
I went when it was cool outside. Cool being a relative term, it was still 80, but it wasn't. I didn't go in July and August. I'm not a sadist. Oh. I like myself.
Okay. Well, I guess I wouldn't surprise you guys to know that in the land of attractions, it's in one of my favorites. I genuinely like the Hall of Presidents, and it's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. I actually genuinely like the ride. I think it's the animatronics, or like the smell of like the animatronics and the stage moving, it senses and feels older, like original, and I genuinely enjoy it. I think it's fun. So this is not a political statement at all, but I enjoy it. Okay.
So Chris said you like the smell, and then paused. I thought you were going to say you like the smell of liberty.
the smell of liberty. Yes.
I really love the smell of politics in the morning.
And Muppets. All right, Jen, give me your land. If you had a land that calls out to you, what is it?
Adventureland, absolutely.
Me too. I was going to say Adventureland for sure. From the moment you cross the bridge, and like the feeling of like the trees and like the theming is really good. I've always thought Aladdin's kind of miscast in there, but Adventureland is mine as well too. That's the one that if I could only visit one, that's where I'm going, is Adventureland. Yeah. Okay. So day 4, Magic Kingdom. Day 5, when are you visiting Animal Kingdom at this point? Are you going
to... We did. Okay. Yep. We got Kingdom in on this day.
Okay, give me a highlight. Give me something really good on that day.
So we had a great day at Animal Kingdom. The really cool thing I think about Animal Kingdom, since they built Pandora, besides being Pandora, is you can get so much done if you're not trying to ride Flight of Passage first thing in the morning. So we actually were able to do the Navi River Journey, Primeval World, Dinosaur, and Everest, and then jump on safari all by 10 o'clock that morning.
Wow. And that's because Pandora is drawing people like a magnet. It took away from safari. So, okay. Very good. So, are your friends at this point, are they getting tired? Are they getting exhausted? Are they getting grumpy? Is their personality changing, or are they still cool with everything?
No, I mean, they were really great, good with the flow. The funniest thing was, the second day, I guess, we were there, was the first morning we were there. And they had said, like, okay, what time do you want to meet at the bus? And I'm like, well, you know, the park opens at 9, so, like, we should be at the bus stop at 8. And they thought I was crazy. But I think they soon figured out when they looked at the line that amassed by 9:15 that that was the right move, and that they were really flexible with us after that. But no, everybody was in pretty good spirits. I mean, normal like kid meltdown stuff, but that's to be expected. I only get worried when we have adults having meltdowns.
Which happens if you're at the Magic Kingdom or you're at Epcot at about 8 o'clock in the evening. You'll see that. You'll see adults having meltdowns for sure.
Well, yeah, because their kids have been having them all day.
All day.
And they can't deal with it anymore.
Can I ask you a touring style here question? So you mentioned bus, but you drove. So you would, you took the bus to the parks with kids because you were, I just so I understand, because I would think that you'd want to take it in case you had to go back if the kid was sick or having a bad meltdown, you can get back to the hotel. What was your thought on taking a bus as opposed to the car?
Yeah, so I never, ever, ever take the car to Magic Kingdom because you can get there so much quicker with the bus.
Okay.
With the parking situation there. We did try to take the car a couple of days, and I think this is kind of one of those things like that I take for granted. So they've, and Pete, you probably know this better than any of us, but they've got everything like just crazy dug up right now in Disney World, and entrances aren't where they used to be. And so a couple of times Google Maps steered us wrong, or Disney signs steered us wrong, in one case to Hollywood Studios. So it was taking us a little longer to get to places. And I think we were kind of more go with the flow with it, like we'll get there. But you know, for our friends not understanding the layout of Disney World or not really having that frame of reference, and they were trying to follow us, which we're not great people to follow in a car anyway, I think it was probably just easier. We realized like midweek we're just going to commit to the buses here.
Okay, so here's my question for you. I'm trying to keep track of where you're going. So if you're there on late Saturday, with this day, is this actual Thanksgiving day for you, or is Thanksgiving the next day?
Thanksgiving's the next day.
Okay, so we're at day six, and you're at Thanksgiving. Where are you spending Thanksgiving?
So we split Thanksgiving up, and that really the reason we did that was because it was when I could get a Slinky Dog Fast Pass. So okay. We spent morning at Hollywood Studios, and then we took a quick break in the afternoon, and then went to Epcot for the evening because we had dinner at Beer Garden on Thanksgiving.
Okay, so Hollywood Studios Slinky Dog coaster. What do you think of Toy Story Land? What did they think of Toy Story Land?
So I'm a big fan of Toy Story Land. I had probably my biggest Disney nerd moment. I was in the parks this summer, and I was walking by, and it wasn't supposed to be open, and they had just started letting people go in. So I got to be like in Toy Story Land within the first hour or so of it being open. So I think just for that alone, like it'll always be exciting to me to remember like getting to see everything and everything being new.
Like super fresh. No one's ever seen it before. No one's had a picture, and here you are nerding out completely.
Yeah.
I see.
Nobody's jacked up anything or broken anything yet.
I see.
Nobody's scribbled on the wall.
Cool.
But I think Toy Story Land is really great and really what Hollywood Studios needed and needs more of, because it's, you know, appealing to a younger crowd, but also has things for adults as well. So everybody was really into that. We did actually get to go on Tower of Terror this day. So we headed there first, right as the park opened, and we were online to ride right in front. We were actually where you board the ride, all lined up on the numbers, and the ride went down.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So that was a little frustrating, but also I think we were all a little relieved we weren't on the ride when it went down.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that.
So that was kind of a funky start to the day, but we were able to go back later and get on. And then we rode Rock and Roller Coaster again. And one thing that was kind of funny throughout our trip, so our friend Amanda had told me that she wasn't a roller coaster person, and she hadn't ridden a roller coaster since she was like 6 or 7 years old. And she was like super nervous even just to ride Big Thunder Mountain when we did it. And I don't know what switch I flipped in her, but she was all about the roller coasters. And by the end of the trip, like the day we went to Animal Kingdom, she rode Everest 3 times.
Whoa.
Yep.
Crazy. You did a conversion. You did a roller coaster conversion.
I did.
Wow. So she was on Rock and Roller Coaster too? Because that's a wicked, you know, quick start roller coaster.
Yep. Yep. She rode it. And, you know, we also rode. And that one makes me nervous too, just the start of it. And then I'm fine.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's all about
Steven Tyler and 60 miles an hour. Wonderful. You did a great job right there. You're eating Thanksgiving dinner, though, at Epcot at Beer Garden?
Yep.
Okay. Do they got the full Oompa band playing with turkey and sausages and everything?
They do, yep.
Okay.
So what was kind of cool, so if you've never been to Beer Garden, you sit at a table with 8 people. But we had 8 people in our party, so it was the first time we got to eat with people we knew, so that was kind of fun. And they had I don't know that I would say a full Thanksgiving meal, but they had turkey, they had stuffing, some cranberries, so some traditional stuff, plus a lot of bratwurst. I did witness kind of an interesting exchange with another family where I guess somebody's sister-in-law was a vegetarian and they brought them the Beer Garden for Thanksgiving, so that wasn't going well for them.
Yeah, I was thinking that because I am as well, too. Though I'm not a true vegetarian. I'll eat fish, but I haven't had pork, chicken, beef in like a bunch of years. And I always look at the menu and I think it looks so fun. I want to go there so bad. But I look at the menu and it's like, I cannot eat hardly anything at this place. So I can imagine that would be a frustrating experience.
Yeah.
All right. So on the next day, they're tapping out and they're going home, right? They've had enough. You've worn them down, correct, at this point?
Almost. So this was like their first day.
Okay.
And then they left the following morning.
Okay.
So this is like, you know, last chance to do whatever we hadn't done yet.
Okay. So where are you going?
So we actually went to Magic Kingdom again. And then like 3 Magic Kingdom days started to feel like a lot, but I think there's just so much for the kids to do there. So we did, you know, Small World, Peter Pan. We did Haunted Mansion that day. And then the boys were really into Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So they wanted to get some more cards. So we made sure to make that part of the trip there.
Okay. Peter, do you collect the Sorcerer's cards when you walk into the park?
No. I think I've gotten cards once.
Okay.
And I was at a party.
Okay.
And I gave them to my cousin because he actually does collect the cards.
You know, it's strange. I've seen the following. Like, my kids will do it, but they're not crazy for it. But people come in with binders, mm-hmm. and, like, they're trading with cast members.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like pin trading for some people.
It's hardcore for some people. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you went to Magic Kingdom 3 days, Epcot 1.5 days, Hollywood Studios 2 days, and Animal Kingdom 1 day. What could you do differently if you had to plan this differently? What would you do differently with the group now? Oh, and you know what? I didn't even talk to you about your last day. You had one more day too as well.
We did, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't
see. You didn't think I was paying attention. I am. See.
you know, we had a great trip, and even though I think, you know, there were some moments of just, okay, crowds are getting crazy or kids are getting crazy, I don't know that I would have necessarily changed anything.
Mm-hmm.
It did give me the perspective for first timers with a week or less. I don't know that park hoppers are as critical as they are to me and my family when we tour. But when we're on our own, we're very much like one park in the morning, a different park every night. So I think that's just something I would think about if I was to go with another first-time family.
Okay. Answer this question then, because you guys both for Pete and Jen. So the Bachmans and the Maloks are going on vacation together, or the Ponikorovas and the Maloks. Knowing that I don't necessarily like to go and drive all day long at a park, and I'm not there for 12 hours, what would you think would be a good tip for families to vacation but don't have similar touring styles, but let's say we're neighbors and we want to go to the Walt Disney World together, what would you do? What advice would you give to somebody? You got the Bachmans who want to go all day. You got the Malks who can take it or leave it and go. And what would you advise, Pete? You too. It's a tough one because this is one that always stumps me. Like, people want to go on vacation and they're like, oh, yeah, we should go to vacation. We should spend a weekend or go. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if we're compatible, you know? So what would you do? How would you engineer the day to make sure that, like, everybody was happy?
So I think it'd probably be good to plan to spend, like, either a morning or an evening together and then let each family kind of do their own thing beyond that, because then you run less of a risk of burning people out.
Yeah, good point. Peter, what do you think?
I mean, this is hard because, like, lately I've been going by myself, so I can just kind of do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually, like, when it was Missy, myself, and we brought my mom, I would kind of say, okay, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? Here's what I want to do today. Whatever all three people said, that was definitely on the list. And then I'd go back and be like, all right, if you can only do one of the things that you wanted to do, what do you want to do? And their top thing made the list, and then the next person's top thing made the list, and then my top thing made the list.
Setting appropriate expectation levels, right? Like, itinerary.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Like, here's what we want to do. Here's what's probably going to be possible, and here's what we're actually going to get done.
Okay. All right, so Jim, we go. I'm going to make sure we set clear expectation levels just so we can enjoy the vacation together, just so you know, okay? When the Malik's the Bachmans go on vacation. Okay, so your last day, what are you doing on that last day then? When they're gone and it's just you guys?
Yeah, so the last day, and this is kind of something we started a few trips ago and we try to do. We like to do all the mountains in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, good
one. So they Splash and Thunder. So we spent some time in Magic Kingdom doing that, but we also like to, on every trip, try a restaurant we've never tried before. So this day we actually went to the breakfast or the brunch at 1900 Park Fair.
Okay.
So that was great, and they have the huge gingerbread house this time of year in the lobby there, so that was cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended the day with dinner at Ohana.
Nice. Nice. I've been to 1900 Park Fair on my last trip, and I was really impressed and surprised at how good the food was. You associate a buffet with a buffet with a buffet, but there really is a difference. And I got the tip from Stacy to go and try their strawberry soup, and the whole buffet was fantastic. Pete, I imagine as a character breakfast, you probably haven't gone yet, but if your nieces or nephews come down, it really stands apart. And I shouldn't even assume that about you. Have you been in 1900 Park Fair yet, buddy?
I have not.
It's good. Really good. Like, worth the money. And the interactions are fun. Alice is a hoot, and the Mad Hatter is a hoot. I mean, it is a really cool experience. It's worth it. It's one of the few ones that I will say is worth it. I was at Cape May, and it's okay, but...
Yeah,
1900 is better. So
I really enjoy Ohana for a character breakfast. Actually,
okay. Tell me more about,
like,
this.
That's my top one.
So you're at Ohana, and pizza. Obviously, based on my diet, I've avoided Ohana. Is that valid? Should I avoid Ohana because I'm not a meat eater? Tell
for
me about
breakfast.
It.
No, I mean, breakfast is just kind of standard breakfast stuff.
Okay.
I don't know that I would avoid it for dinner, though, because, like, it's, you know, the shrimp is 95% of what.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay. Okay. It's unlimited, right? Unlimited
meat.
Yeah,
you can just keep bringing me shrimp, bro, and they'll just keep bringing you shrimp.
And the noodles are my favorite part of the meal, actually. Like, I could just eat the whole bowl of noodles.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have a special dessert, too, don't they, at Ohana? Do they
the
have
bread pudding?
The bread pudding, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard about this before.
All right, I'll clue you in on the bread pudding. I hate bread pudding. I love that bread pudding.
Oh, yeah?
I don't eat French toast because it's too eggy. I don't eat bread pudding generally because it tends to be kind of custardy, and I'm not really, like, I love their bread pudding.
Okay. That's a huge endorsement, because when you're set in your thought process, it's hard to get you out of with a lot of things. But hearing you say that makes me think, whoa, you took something you didn't like and it's your favorite now. So, cool. Okay. So you're at Ohana. When do you leave the next day? Because, like, the day that you leave and you've got to drive home, like, it's like the worst feeling in the world, because you know you're facing a long drive and you've got to leave everything that you love down in Florida.
Yeah, so we left the next morning about 8 o'clock. I think in my mind we were going to get up and leave at like 6:30, but that absolutely did not happen. So we left about 8.
Okay.
And that was pretty rough. If you've ever driven through Georgia, like you guys mentioned, it's about, feels forever long, but for whatever reason, there was just insane traffic. I shouldn't say for whatever reason. It was like the busiest travel day of the year when we were driving back.
Yeah.
So it took us close to 14 hours to get back to Nashville.
Okay, so timing-wise, you're 4.5 hours, 4 hours to the border of Florida. So you're at the border at noon, plus potty breaks and gas, which means you're hitting Atlanta at about 5 o'clock in the evening, though it's a weekend, but still, it's the busiest travel day of the year. So yeah, I could imagine. What was your favorite part of the entire trip? What was the lasting memory you have?
I think that's really hard to say. I probably have a couple. So one thing I'm looking back through my notes, I totally forgot about, but Chrissy brought it up in the beginning of the show. So we, on our last day, we did the Festival of Fantasy Parade.
Okay.
And my daughter is obsessed with Minnie and Mickey. And so she was, when the parade started, she had just woken up for a nap and was not having it. And by the time they came around, she was waving and saying, Minnie Mouse over and over again. So absolutely love that. I had a great time, with the other family, just sharing some memories, having the snowfall on us in Hollywood Studios that first night we were there was really magical for us. And then my son, he just started riding Space Mountain this summer, and he got super brave on this trip, and on our last day he wanted to be in the front seat of Space Mountain.
Whoa. So
that was fun to watch.
That is brave. That's really cool. Okay. And you know what? That experience with your daughter and the parade, that's like almost enough to bring a parent to like tears, because what comprehension your daughter does have at that point, like all of a sudden she knew she was seeing Minnie and Mickey and verbalizing those words. What a cool experience that was.
Yeah. And then our first night, as we were walking out of Hollywood Studios, our friend's 2-year-old was saying something in a stroller, and I couldn't quite make out what he was saying. And we all realized he was saying, "I had fun." And he's not my kid, but I almost cried, because, like, that's what we do this for, right, is for those moments. Yeah. So for him to just come out with, "I had fun," it was so sweet.
What was the coolest souvenir you picked up on the entire trip?
So that's kind of a funny story. So I tried to get an ornament with our name on it, but here's a good lesson learned for everybody. So I had it shipped back to the hotel, and our last name is tricky to spell. So I didn't look at it when I picked it up, and I got it home, and when I unwrapped the ornament, they had spelled our name wrong.
Okay. Oh,
That would have been the coolest souvenir, but I'm waiting for a replacement. So I'm going to go with, we bought a new tree skirt this year for Christmas, so we've been enjoying it.
Jen, you missed a perfect opportunity to re-gift that ornament in the Edcot Christmas ornament.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Well, can I ask you this much? It's Baughman, right? That's how you spell it? Well, how do they spell it?
So they spelled it B A N G H M-A-N. So oh, it's like Bangham. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they butchered that. Okay. And they wrote it down. So I have terrible handwriting. For a minute, I thought it was my fault. And then I remembered they wrote it down.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you complain, I shouldn't say complain. If you verbalize your frustration, it'll get resolved, guaranteed. How'd you do that? Where'd you go? The front desk? The concierge? Where'd you go with that?
Yeah, so I actually didn't realize till we were home because I never took it out of the box. I just, oh. I picked it up.
So she sent an email.
Okay.
I didn't send an email. I called the Disney gift line, and they're supposed to be sending me a new one.
Okay. They'll send you a new one. Backmann, right? Yeah. Bachman, right? There you go.
At some point, I'm just going to write it myself.
You're just going to take a Sharpie to it. Okay. Yeah. So would you go on vacation again with first timers? Would you be encouraged to do this again? Would you plan it differently? I mean, because honestly, it's a little intimidating to go. I mean, you're trying to show off the park, but you're also trying to consider they're going to like it or not. You're trying to give them time, but you're also trying to show them everything you want them to see. Good, bad, indifferent. Well, give me a rating. I guess we don't have to get too in depth because I know they're going to listen to the show and share it a bunch of times with their friends. But was it a challenge? Did it meet like your mind of what you could accomplish, or did you think you could deliver something different?
Yeah, no, I think we had a great time. And they actually, I mean, they were totally troopers. They did more, and we got more done than I thought we would do a lot of the days. So, you know, appreciative of their patience with me and their willingness to kind of just roll with our craziness. Definitely would do it again. There are some things I would probably do differently. Just trying to better understand the viewpoint of a first timer.
Yeah.
And not try to pack everything in. But definitely a great trip and so glad we had the experience and our kids had the experience.
You know what? They needed you, though. Because if you go to the first time, Peter, I mean, definitely jump in here. So if you're a first timer and you're going to go to Walt Disney World, you think you're going to just go and you're just going to arrive and you're going to have the magical time. I can't think of any other vacation on the planet which requires more planning. Like, I could legitimately go to Europe with less planning than is required to go as a first timer to Walt Disney World. If you don't understand FastPass at a certain point, and advanced dining reservations and transportation, like you're guaranteed to have a miserable time. So you were like invaluable to them, right, Pete?
It was funny. They just kept saying, "We're following you. We're just following you."
Yeah,
yeah. Because they made the realization that if they didn't, they were hosed and they were going to be lost.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So if anyone's got any questions, Jen, where can they find you? Give us your social media address, or if you want to just be reached at one spot or another, where can people contact you?
Yep. Jennifer Bachman on Facebook. But probably the best place is in that EDCOP group. We've got some fairly active in there and happy to answer any questions for anyone.
Okay. So EDCOT is EDCOT. If you request to join, Jen's in there, Pete, Stacy, myself, a lot of people that have appeared in this show. It is a community of people, and we have fun. We have serious Disney conversations, and we have really goofy exchanges about things that aren't Disney as well, too, so we encourage you as well. And Jen, on your personal page, you have the picture, you have the video of Issa, right?
It's Isla, actually.
Isa, I'm sorry, with her in the parade, correct?
Yep. We have the video of Isla waving to everybody in the parade.
Isla, I'm sorry. Okay. So, you know,
I let him try to pronounce people's names.
Yeah, I make a mistake every now and then. I apologize to it. Can you do this? Would you post that in the EDCOT group for everyone to see? I would love for people to see that again.
I will. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay. So if you have any questions for Jen, if you have any questions about, hey, I'm a Walt Disney veteran and I'm going to bring my parents who have never gone, she'd be a great person and a great resource. So feel free to reach out to her. So for Jen and for Peter, we'd like to thank you for downloading and listening. And we want to wish you a great day.
Bye, see you, everybody.